How is everyone this morning? Happy Father's Day. I have to tell you the truth. My father was Superman. He was. He was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. My daddy was a strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. He was a defender of law and order, champion of equal rights. He was valiant, courageous fighter against the forces of hate and prejudice, who disguised himself as Clark Kent. My old man, a reporter for the great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Amen. That was my dad. My dad was a superhero to me. Yes, he was. No, actually, his name was Howard. Listen, my dad gave me some pretty phenomenal memories. Let me tell you just a little bit about my dad. He was an inventor. He made his own car. He made a boat. He made a hang glider. He invented a perfume. He invented, help me out, some of the other things. He wrote a book. He wrote a song that was too political to be recorded. He did so many. Oh, he panned for gold in Calico County. My father came over as a 16-year-old boy on a ship from Germany, and he swore in both English and German, words I didn't even understand. My dad, he was a good man. He was one that I love very much. He's been gone 10 years, and I miss him a lot. But I'm not going to go there this morning. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about what a great man he was. I told my husband, I said, I'd like to preach Father's Day. I told him about a month ago when he was setting up whether or not he could take a break. I like to give him a break every once in a while, but boy, did I ask for it when I asked to preach for Father's Day. I thought, because I loved my dad. I have everything good about Father's Day. Groundhogs have a day. Presidents have a day. Mothers have a day. We should have a day for fathers, right? Amen? So I thought this would be easy peasy. But when I started preparing and I started thinking about all the people that I know that I've ministered to along the way, some don't have the same feeling that I have. Some, when they hear Father's Day, they're crushed. Some, when they hear the mention of the name Dad, it doesn't bring memories of, I was a little girl, probably 7, 8 years old, and I stood on his feet and he danced with me. Some don't have that memory. All their dad was a donor, and he was gone. That's what Dad represents to some. That's what Father represents to some. To some, it was such a cruel and abusive life that they would have wished to have a donor instead. It was a long time of pain. So when I think about preaching a Father's Day message, it kind of bit me a little harder than I anticipated because I thought, oh, wonderful, God, Father, Father, God, Father. But not everybody feels that way, and not everybody thinks of that when they hear the word Father or Father's Day. It evokes a lot of emotion. Do you know that it was my father who determined that I was going to be a woman? Thanks, Dad. It was my dad's DNA that determined that I would be a woman. It's your dad's X's and Y's, not your mom's, not the mama's. It's also who determined whether or not you'd have hair or not have hair, maybe pouty lips or a cleft chin. Dad. Thanks, Dad. The DNA, the genetic person that he was, all of you, if you're here, and I see you, you are, all of you had a genetic dad. You had a genetic father. My father, as I told you, was a good man, could swear in many languages, and like I said, couldn't understand some of them, thank God. Didn't go to church, didn't teach me the ways of God, but he was a good, he was a kind, loving man. And I loved him, and I respected him greatly. As I said, he of all the people that I knew, he was one. He'd come in from work at night, sit in the recliner, and bellow with his deepest voice, knock it off. I've told you that before. He was a strong, scary man at times, but I grew up respecting this man and loving this man. I didn't even see the flaws. I didn't see the flaws of the church thing, not going to church or not teaching me about the Word of God. I didn't see those flaws. I didn't even see the flaws of the swearing or the little bit of maybe a crooked way that he walked in one way or another. I didn't see those until I met my real dad. And in the light of my real dad, I could look at this man and say, he's got some issues. He's got some flaws. He's an extremely human guy. Extremely human. I saw all that he was and all the flaws that he had when I met my real dad. Now, some of you are thinking, well, maybe she was adopted. Maybe she had a step-parent. I don't know what you might be thinking. What I'm talking about is the prototype. Talking about the prototype of fathers. Who's the prototype? First, Adam. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. I loaded up all of these. By the way, did anybody get to see the cute little video with the jokes this morning? Yeah. Think of Sam when you think of those, because he's been telling corny jokes for 40 years. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that God the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant on the field was in the earth. Keep going. And before any herb of the field had grown. Is that herb or herb? It doesn't matter. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to work it. So we need an employee. Get a job. But in the mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth and the ground, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Is that as far as I went? God planted a garden, and there he put the man who he had formed. So he created man, and he put him in a garden. We all know that story, right? The reason was, what did it say? Get a job, Adam. He had a job. He had a job for Adam to complete. Now I want you to go back to chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth, and everything creeping that creeps on the earth. All the creepy things. Let them have dominion over it. That's why I call them when there's a snake or a spider. There was a spider this big in my garage the other day. I backed out, sent him a message, and said, I moved. I'll send you the address. Anyway, go to chapter 5. Male and female, he created he them. And he blessed them. Now, this is the King James Version. Sometimes when you don't check other versions, you don't get a full picture. Sometimes you got to go back and look at the King James, the New King James, the American Standards, the NIV. You got to compare what they say, and you'll get a nugget that was hidden. And he called their name Adam. Read this with me. And he called the green part. And he called their name Adam. I can see the look of puzzle on some of your faces. He called their name Adam. Whose name? The man. The woman. He called their name Adam. Adam is first. First man. I've solved the mystery of the ages. You want to hear it? It was the chicken, not the egg. It was the chicken. He called their name Adam. Little bit of a genetic history, and I've got a few medical people in the room and engineer in the room, so don't correct me. If you have issues, write a note. We'll put it in that suggestion box. You get 23 pairs of chromosomes from your parents, right? One determines, from your father, determines your gender, as we said, baldness, not baldness, so on and so on. Adam, we've created us a man. In our likeness and in our image. We just saw that, right? We've created this man in our likeness and our image. All of the DNA for all of us was there. Adam. All of the DNA for every human being ever created started right there. Adam had complete, pure, undefiled DNA. And where did it come from? His father. His father created a man with his X and Y chromosomes, and then from him he pulled from his rib and made a female. So where was all the DNA? Right there. All the DNA for all of us, right there in Adam. And he called their name, Adam. I was blown away when I saw this. Lord, you're teaching me something here, something about my genetics. You're teaching me about my lineage. He called their name Adam. We were all there. That's the story of us in Adam. We were there. And then we know what happened. That DNA was pure. Do you know it's been about 150 generations since that time? Every generation, the DNA mutates at a rate of about 70 times. Mutates. Disease, sin, mutation, mutation, mutation from pure, unadulterated, unblemished DNA. Right there was the pure DNA. There was no foul in it. There was no sin in it. There was no failure in it. Chapter 3, we know the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Keep going. And we'll stop right there. So we know that the deception and the fall of man did something. Scripture said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall die. We know that. How did he die? We know that physically he still walked. We know that the two of them had children and they named animals and he had a job, took care of the garden. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness and in his image. What happened to the DNA? What happened to the purity? What happened to the parenthood, to the lineage? Right there, cut. Sin entered the world. It was a mutation. We read before in Genesis that God created Adam in his likeness, his image, all of the DNA of humanity in this perfect, perfect man. It was all there. That was our beginning. That's the story of us. The fall, the DNA has changed. It has mutated. We've traded our spiritual DNA for flesh. In his image and his likeness, he had a son. No longer in the image of God, no longer in his likeness. It is now fleshy dad. Fleshy dad. It is now in the image and likeness of Adam and called Seth. He made him a man. There was a little boy, and his mom was trying to explain all of these things to him, the story of creation, and she gave the story that I just gave you about how he created Adam out of dirt, and then he laid him down, and he caused him to go to sleep, and he took the rib out of Adam, and she's explaining this to her six-year-old. A little bit later, I mean, he accepts all of this, that took the rib out of Adam and created Eve. A little later, she sees her six-year-old laying on the couch holding his stomach. She said, what's the matter, honey? Do you have a tummy ache? He said, yeah, I think I'm going to get a wife. You have to do that sometimes when you need a break and you need to recapture your thoughts. You have to throw stuff out there like that. So we understand Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David, a man after God's own heart, made this claim. Behold, I was born in iniquity. We all look around and we say, how can a just God punish man? We were born into it. We have a fallen nature. Of course, he knows the heart of the heart. He knows who your daddy is. He knows who my daddy is. He knows that until the moment that we'll read about in Luke, he knows until that moment, I was Adam's child. I was born of a decision. I was Superman's child. That's who I was. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. In the book of Luke, God's answer comes along, and Jesus Christ is born. Go to that next passage of scripture in Luke. Verse 1, 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy, keep that in mind, the Holy, and holy is God. Like, holy is untouched, undefiled. That's what holy is, right? Is that what holy means? Untouched, undefiled. The Holy Spirit, is not flesh. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He's speaking to Mary here. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Also, that Holy One, he's restoring day six. Get excited a little bit. He's restoring day six here. He said that Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. What he did was he took his DNA, his complete DNA for all of humanity going forward after 150 generations for you and I, going forward, placed it in a little girl, in a virgin, the Holy Spirit, not fleshy dad. The Holy Spirit took the DNA, took the Spirit's DNA and placed it in a woman. There's controversy all over the place about whether or not she was half Mary, half. No, it says holy. Does that not declare it to you? The same thing happened in the garden when he placed his DNA in this human that he created. And then it faltered. And then we all became fleshies. We're all fleshies. Now, years and years, 80 generations later, this little girl, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He had an answer for us. He had a way back. He had a way to restore our DNA, to rebuild us. That's why Scripture says, when he spoke to Nicodemus in the next section, I can't remember what passage that is. I put it up there. Is it John? John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Hey, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles unless God be with him." And Jesus answered him. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God." Why did he use that terminology? Unless you are born again. If he didn't use that terminology, it would have been sufficient to go to the priest. It would have been sufficient to show up at church. But something had to happen because your DNA was all kind of messed up. Your DNA was now flesh. Your original father failed. That's why Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. That's why he's referred to, because he came in the fullness of time. He's the second Adam. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again." So you've been born. You've been born. But you needed to be born again. You were born with your father's genetic code. And your father was fallen. He was a fleshy. You are a fleshy. Until you come to this moment and you are born again. Unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, "Go on, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I know this is an elemental teaching for those who have come to Christ, but follow along. It's exciting to renew that understanding. Jesus answered him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Because, let's read this together. That. You're fleshies. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. DNA. Your genetic code. It was mutated. It was altered. It wasn't going to do to fix it. It was only going to do to recreate it. It was only going to do something to get in under that law. Because the law said that the wages of sin is death. You were fleshy. You are a fleshy. When I go through these teachings, I don't know if anybody watches me back here when I have this little monkey on my arm and he's hanging upside down and pulling on my face and kissing my face. Go mommy, go mommy. I have to fight to get here. We all have to fight to get here. We have to fight to get that understanding. You got to fight the enemy to get understanding, to get revelation. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Jesus said to Nicodemus. And to you, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and that which was born of her was holy, was the Spirit. So when Christ was on the earth and he spoke to Nicodemus, he spoke from his lineage. He spoke from being God. He spoke from pure, unadulterated DNA. And he said, this is the way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. That's what he said, right? So I think about fathers, and I think about this false identity that we have been given. When the world went along as it has for 150 generations, everybody just goes on about their business, like father, like son, right? Like father, like son. And like we talked about earlier about fathers, some brutal stuff. Some didn't have the wherewithal to understand where they came from. So they didn't teach where they came from. So we go along and our identity had been stolen. Anybody ever hear the story about the princess, Russian princess Anastasia? Anybody ever hear that story? She was a young girl, like 15 years old, and Romanov was their last name. You might remember there's a Disney movie made out of it. Anastasia Romanov, she was a young girl, daughter of the Russian Tsar, and their whole family was murdered. Well, for years and years and years, and from the 1900s until 2007, there were rumors that circulated that she escaped being murdered the night that her whole family was murdered. They had a grave, and they couldn't find two of the skeletons. So for many years, the story went that people said, people claimed to be Anastasia and were kabillions. And they said that the way that she survived was her family had sewn into her clothing the jewels, family's jewels, and that's what caused her not to be killed. The bullets bounced off of the jewels sewn into her clothing. That's what the story about Anastasia was. So even as late as in 2000s, there were people who claimed to be her. One of them was named Anna somebody or other. And in 2007, they finally declared that she was not Anastasia. And because of DNA, they found another grave and two bodies in it. And they were the child body of Anastasia and her brother. So it was just a hoax all along. And many people benefited that through media and everything else. They benefited by claiming this heritage. Let me ask you something. What if you found out, and you have, what if you found out that you're walking in a false identity, that you've been living a false identity? What if you found out today that your father is actually a king, that your genetic daddy, your fleshy daddy, although he may have been a great man, may have been a horrible man, may have been a... Mine was somewhere between Andy Griffith and Rambo. Somewhere in between there, that was my dad. If he was telling me about joining the Peace Corps, swearing like it was his job, that was my daddy. Let me dance on his feet, told my brother off in spades. That he had such flesh. He had such flesh. My father didn't lead me to the Lord. But I got to share my faith with my father. I got to introduce my father to my father. So think about that fleshy man. If he's still breathing, there's still time. But what about your identity? How exciting that your identity, you are the lineage of a king. Flip up there to that passage in Galatians that I have in there. And if a king, go to the one, Galatians chapter 4. Now, the reason I'm skipping ahead is because it's the juicy part anyway, and because I promised my husband I wouldn't take too much time today. And I giggled because he said, honey, don't go too long. Now, if you're an heir, if you're a child of the king, if you've come to Christ, and that's back in Romans, and we'll flip back there just for a minute because that was really important. Go to Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go to John chapter 1. And this will do, we'll take this one. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. DNA, it was made through him, the first Adam. Prior to the first Adam, the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, he came to you, but you didn't receive him. We were fleshy, we were broken, we were lost. But as to as many as received him, keep going, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, this is so exciting to me, and I know you've read it a billion times, who were born not of blood, not of genetic material, nor of the will of God, or man, but of the will of God. To them who believed him, go back again, go back to 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own didn't know him. His own didn't receive him. But to as many as has received him, he gave the right to become an heir, to become a child of God, to those who believe in his name. To those who have come to Christ, to those who have been washed clean by his blood, he said, who were born, meaning birth. Do you know that the word father means pater, means giver of life, progeny, paternity, DNA? To those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, not your fleshy daddy, nor the will of man, but of God. Now go to that one. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. And that word is a really cool word too. Begotten. Monogeno. That's what begotten. Mono, one. Geno, only. The one and only. The only one of its kind beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, the only Son. The only Son he claims. He didn't claim Adam after that. After the fall, they were not his children. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, didn't he? He was talking to all of those who did not know him. Are you genetically connected? Are you a child of Adam? No, I'm not. I'm not even a child of Harold, swearing, truck-driving German. I'm not his child. I'm his child. I adored my daddy. Put that picture up that's down there on the bottom. This is my dad. And this is me. I cuddled up under his arms, and I really did think that he could stop a locomotive. Everybody that knew him, he told them I could stop locomotives. He was, Michael, yeah, he was the smartest man that I ever knew. He would do just about anything to help somebody. He'd let you know about it, especially if you were wrong. Good man, not God, not my father. If he were sitting here today, and I'm grateful that I got to talk my faith with my father, I'm grateful that I got to share that with him, because I know where he's at, and I know he'd be like, preach it, girl. He would tell me, preach it, girl. That's right. I wasn't your dad. Oh, my, did I mess it up for 70 years? That's what he would say. In my life, I messed it up for 70 years because I didn't know. That's what he would say. So every message that is ever preached from every pulpit has to go to Christ and him crucified. Because the only way for a man to be saved, for a man to have his DNA remade to be born again is Christ and Him crucified, right? And the way that He did it, He went under the law. He went under in Mary, a woman under the law. Why did He have to go under the law? Because that's where we were. That's where we were. He had to go in and rescue us. Danny, he had to go in and save us from our lineage, from our history, from the day that Adam fell. We were all gone. The reason that that correction took place that way is so that we could come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we could be born again. You are heirs. Now go to Galatians 4. Now I'm ready for it. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. I'm going to read it from the NIV because I like the way it puts it. He owns the whole estate, but the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So that 30 years or 10 years or whatever it was that took before you came to Christ, you were an heir. Peggy, you were already his. You were already of the lineage of Christ from the foundation of the world. You were already his. But until that time, appointed by your father, you were under guardians. You were in sin. But when a time had fully come, God sent his own son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sonship. We've been adopted. Not only adopted, even more than adopted. You've been revealed. You've been recompensed. You have been received because you are his sons. God sent the spirit of his son into our heart, and that spirit cries out, Daddy, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, he's made you an heir. We were imprisoned under the law, but he's made us a child. He's made us royalty. My identity was stolen. I came to him. My DNA changed. So as an heir, as a grown-up child of the king, what does that look like to you? What does that look like to you, Dolores? You're a grown-up child of daughter of the king. What do you own? Everything my dad owns. When I danced on his feet, he just carried me around. He just carried me around, and every spot of land that he was standing on was mine too. I belong to the Father. You belong to the Father. You got to get your mind obedient to the Spirit of God within you so that you can walk forward, so that you can step out and recognize that in this world there's going to be trouble, but who cares? We already own it. We already own it. We belong to a Father who owns it all. Our lineage has changed. You cannot be the old man. Paul said, I struggle with this. Okay, so do we. We struggle. But when he lined up and he said, oh, but you paid the price for me and I belong to you. I don't have to sin. I don't have to falter. I was thinking about all those people who had dads who failed them miserably. So what? You're past it. You're here now. You belong to the king. Your real daddy will never leave you nor forsake you. You can forgive that dad. And if he's still alive, you can pray for him. And if you are him, if you are a flesh daddy, my children can tell you they had a flesh daddy and a godly daddy. As a young man, for many years, my husband, your pastor, served Satan. The Bible says, he who is not for me is against me, right? So he had a flesh daddy, and he was a flesh daddy, and he told really bad jokes. Flesh daddy. But there came a time that my children can attest to for the last 35 years, what they witnessed in their father without a word was that he served God. They witnessed him preaching the gospel. They witnessed him crying out to God. They witnessed that Dad at times had to go and be by himself and not talk a lot. They witnessed that Dad traded his fleshy DNA for a spiritual father. And when he became a man of God, he became a child of his own father. And God began to do the work in him to make him the father he wanted him to be. And to fatherhood at its ultimate is only this. There's your father. Fatherhood at the ultimate. If you've messed up, okay, you've messed up. But you've come to God. You're his child now. Your father said, I give you power of attorney. You can stand right on my feet and I'll carry you around. He gave you power of attorney. So when you deal with any other person, first you recognize, that's my God. That's my father. Live through me, Lord. Spirit of God, you own me. So good, bad, or otherwise, no matter what, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? You're the just. Sometimes you get rained on. Sometimes you get treated pretty raw. And sometimes you do the raw. Sometimes you fail God. But he's your dad. When I failed my dad, I heard about it. When my dad had to correct me, he did it, as I told you, in many, many words. Not pretty ones. But I knew beyond any doubt that my father, my fleshy dad, I knew that he loved me. But I couldn't see him for who he was until I could see my dad, until I could see my real dad. And then I looked at this man, this fleshy man, and I saw him with different eyes. I saw him with eyes of forgiveness. I saw him with eyes of understanding that we, without Christ, fleshy, fleshy. So when we've come to know him, our DNA is different. I no longer am that old person. That man's dead, or woman. And I don't even know if I'm man or woman because they called them all Adam. It doesn't matter. What matters is my dad. So when I walk forward, as I said, to you fathers who've messed it up, to you fathers who've taken lightly your responsibilities, to you fathers, you have another chance. You have more time to show your child, to show everybody around you, your father. And you don't have to say the right words. You don't have to do anything but point to him. Cling to him, point to him. Let everyone that knows you know who your daddy is. Amen. I'm going to call Michael up. And as we close the service today, I want to honor dads, as the scripture says in Exodus chapter 20. And 12, it says, honor your mother and father, for it will go well with you. It's a principle. We've translated to our real dad. We're all in the same family. Got a real dad now. Doesn't matter. Whichever one you want to do. Are you going to do that on acoustic?
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Hold me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand, the potter's hand.
He's going to sing one more song, and as he's getting ready to do that, this song we all sing, and it's a pretty popular one the last couple of years, Good, Good Father. And as he's singing that, I want you to think about your dad, and I want you to either praise God for him, ask God to forgive him, no matter what it is, but I want you to think about your real father, and I want you to relish that relationship first, and all other things after that are just good. And for those dads in the room, I wanted to honor my husband today for the man that he is, for the father that he is to my children. I wanted to honor all fathers today because when they point to Christ, what a powerful thing. What a powerful thing when they lean to their father. So I want you all to just stand with us as we close with this song. And I want you to sing it with us, and I just want you to enjoy that. And I'm going to pray first so that we can just visit a little bit afterwards and you can be on your way. And enjoy your dads. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you, Father, that I belong to you. Above all, Father, I thank you that you have perfected your DNA, Father, and that we were received in, Father. You took us right back to that pure place, Father, where you created us, that we are born again in you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we are not subject to this world, that we are not subject to the failures of this world, Father, or anything else, Lord, but that we belong to you, for you are a good, good Father. So, Lord, today I ask that this message would just be driven home by your Spirit, Father, that all who are hearing it would receive you more and more, Father. Doesn't matter who says it, Father, it matters that you say it and that we receive it, Father God. So I thank you, Lord. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've heard a thousand stories of think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need. before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your way. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your way. You are perfect in all of your way. You're perfect in all of your way to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Be so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. Who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father, it's who you are, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.